Hello, and welcome to the Comicast.
Ireland's number one comic, actually, Ireland's number one podcast.
Yes, Ireland's that's confirmed.
Officially, better ratings than Today FM's podcast, yeah. Any 2FM's podcast, George Hook. We beat you.
That's true, we beat a lot.
That is definitely true and not a lie.
You want to explain this for people?
No. What explanation?
Oh, well, I thought because we had made the top 10 podcasts on the PC Live.
Oh, we did!
that wasn't connected at all.
No, because we were number 3 so on that list.
That's true.
So that wouldn't imply that we were the number 1 podcast.
But I was just but over all the other podcasts, because none of those podcasts had been mentioned.
Oh, okay, that's true, I guess. I was just saying it because, like, we don't really check if we're the number one comic podcast. So why limit ourselves there? Number one entertainment program in the world, the Comicast. So, interview
special with none other than Archie Templar.
Yes, that's his real name.
That is his real name.
Did you find out his real name?
I did.
Can you speak? Spill the beans.
You know what? I didn't find it out there, but someone told me, and I think it's Anthony. Yeah. But I might be entirely wrong.
Okay.
So we'll stick with Archie Templar.
So who is Archie Templar before we run into the...
Archie Templar is a comics person.
Okay.
Irish comics
good.
Good so far. This is the creator of From the Pants of Archie Templar, yeah. A comic we reviewed way back when.
And it was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, actually, you'll see in the interview, he brings up the review, and I was thinking... quickly, I was like, oh my god, did we say this was good or bad? I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I think it was good.
I definitely liked it.
Yes. What else did he do?
He has a new short story book out.
He does, from the desk of Archie Templar. You see a running theme here. Yes, but anyway, interesting interview.
Yeah, let's just get to it and let him explain all that stuff.
Precisely.
I'm sure he asked loads of really in-depth questions and he got really in-depth answers.
No, but here you go anyway.
Here we are.
Welcome to the Comicast. I'm here with none other than Archie Templar.
Greetings.
The one and only. And we are here in the Central Hotel, which is becoming a bit of a haunt for the Comicast.
No better place.
We're sitting at the exact table that we interviewed the Windell guys the last time. But now we're here with Archie Templar.
Yeah.
How are you, sir?
Very good, thank you.
Good.
And thanks for the invite.
No problem. It seems to me you've been involved in the Irish Small Press for ages and ages and ages. Almost when I was just looking back at like some of your other comics and when they've come out, and there was like ones of like 1994. And I was like,
yeah,
wow, you're one of the you're one of the old guys.
Yeah, I'm old enough. But
I don't mean it in that way.
Now, what it was actually it's funny that you mentioned that 1994, because that was actually the first time myself and two mates brought out our first ever comic. It was called Biosynthetic Granny.
Right, yes, was this an anthology of like three stories?
That was it, yeah. Black and white, done very old school, you know, photocopied, but the artwork was actually pretty good. Like, even looking back now, I still think the artwork was pretty top notch for the age we were and what we were putting out there.
Yeah.
And we put it out in Forbidden Planet in Dawson Street.
Wow.
Back in the day.
That is back in the day.
So you're going back a bit. But it's funny that you say like I've been around for that long, because actually what happened was that was my first comic, if you want to call it that.
Right.
And then there's about a 10-year gap of me doing absolutely nothing. I wouldn't say sitting on my ass, I was living life, having a good time.
Yeah.
making lots of friends, a few enemies, things along the way, and just getting on with it. But then I hit a point where I realised it's time to actually take it up again, and this time do it properly.
Yeah. So, like, presumably there was, like, just two other artists. Was it working on that one?
Yeah.
Or two other people?
Yeah, two people I've subsequently lost contact with, were good friends. One was a good friend at the time. Another was just some geek who, happened to be good at art, and we said, ah, fuck it, you can join us and do his comic together with us.
Yeah. Did you ever get involved with, because I'm not sure the timeline here, but like Brenby and Toenail Clippings.
No,
that whole scene.
No, but you mentioned that again. That's another thing that actually kind of got my got me going into the whole thing, getting back into it again. Even though that was like late 90s, I think, wasn't it? When they...
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. It was around that time.
Yeah. So for me, that was another example of seeing somebody doing something that I was like, okay, maybe it's time I should, you know, do it myself as well. Not just talk about doing it, actually do it.
Yeah.
So Toenail Clippings, when I saw that, I could see that they had good production values. Group of guys working together, putting something out there, which was essentially really good and a good friend at Small Press.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that was another kick in the head for me to say, just get going on it.
Yeah. And did you study, like, art, or did you just because from just looking at your website and some of the stuff that's actually in your comics, there's a lot of paintings and stuff that's not just kind of comics or comic art.
No, everything.
Self-trained?
Yeah, completely. You know the way people always say, I'm self-taught?
Yes.
I don't know what that even means, self-taught. You don't sit there teaching yourself, you know. But I've been drawing since I was a nipper, you know, little lad, and I've never stopped, except for that kind of 10 years, like I said, where I just did literally just tit about. Yeah, I did stuff. And I just let the art drop, and I kind of felt that I owe it to the world, you know? Let them see my talent.
So what was the next comic then to come after that 10-year gap?
There was a couple that were started just after that first one, and you can see those on the website as well, actually, and they're really embarrassing when you look back at them, because they have such contrived characters and stupid character names, and don't forget, it was the early 90s, and that was a horrible time for comics anyway.
I like the way you're blaming the 90s, and the fact that you called one of your characters Orb Van Manta.
yeah.
From, what was this? This is the vampire kind of comic, was it?
Yeah, it's actually quite clever. It's called Ranul, which is lunar, spelt backwards.
Yeah. I love when people do that.
It was about a bisexual vampire, and funnily enough, the same year that I was writing that comic, Interview with a Vampire came out.
Alright.
I was like, damn it, that Anne Rice got in there before me, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, then, what was after that? Was there kind of a couple of comics that came out at that time?
No, that was just me just doing comics that were never finished, so it was like, I'll start, but I won't finish.
Right.
Then we had the gap.
So it wasn't finished at all, it wasn't even...
I have about 3 old comics that are sitting there just gathering dust, and to be honest, I couldn't go back and finish them now because they're dross. In the sense of, you know, at the time I was really proud, and I always put my heart and soul into them, but looking back at them now, I was younger, I didn't know any better.
That's understandable.
I don't know any better now, I'm just still making it up as I go along.
Yeah. And then this, I have written down here, Archie and Chums. Was that a comic?
That wasn't a comic, no. That was, Archie and Chums was just me just kind of, okay, to start at the beginning. I brought out From the Pants of Archie Templar. Okay, that was the first kind of big comic for me to do. And I did it all myself, absolutely every single thing. So I'm completely to blame for anything that's in there, whether it's good or bad or offends people or doesn't or just makes them go, whatever.
Yeah.
So that was all my own work. But the reason for that was I wanted to kind of springboard, is that the word? You know, kickstart something. So I wanted to do it all myself first, then have that established. Also, I set up Byproduct Productions, which is the publishing company. So everything underneath Byproduct Productions is going to be copyright under that.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to collaborate. That was my next step, was to collaborate with other people. So first comic, everything myself. Next thing up was to collaborate.
Yeah.
So I've taken it from there.
Well, From the Pants of Archie Templar, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That was, 2007?
2007, yeah.
How did you find Button? Because it is, for anyone who's seen that comic... For anyone who's seen that comic, it is, such really high production values. It's really nicely put together. It just seems like, for your first kind of real comic... it seems like a lot of work. How did you find it?
The catch 22 with that is that I put it out like really, really high production values, and I almost have set myself this standard now that I have to kind of keep these production values up.
Yeah.
But that's not really what I'm all about, because I did actually want to put out a few different things with all different types of production values, but number one rule is that you have to at least have good content in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I've seen some guys out there that have put things out there, and I'm not going to name any names in this talk at all, because unless it's good stuff. But there are people that put stuff out there which is, you know, just really, really bad quality, you could say, just quality artwork, but wrapped in a nice ribbon and a bow and all that. And then there's other guys who put stuff out there that you can tell that their production values are quite low, because they're not all about, swish, swish. But it's some of the best stuff that you'll see out there.
Right.
Can you
give me an example of that?
The most recent one that I just saw there was the one called the Inside Outsiders, I think it's called.
Oh, yes, by Sean Robbins.
Yes, exactly. I hope I've got the title right. But there's an example of someone who you can tell that was probably, you know, lovingly done at home, probably, you know, with the staples and all that.
But it's
all about the content. The artwork is just beautiful looking, and you can see that. And people aren't stupid. Like, people can tell if something's put together and lovingly, whether or not, you know, and crafted, whether or not it's like got high production values. Now, of course, I've put in the high production values because I just kind of have this thing where I thought it'd be kind of cool to do that just for a first comic. I thought, I looked at what else was out there.
Just launch me.
Just, well, you know, just throw it out there and, you know, and have it full colour and throw as many colours as I possibly can. I mean, disgusting. I mean, it's absolutely, like, when I saw that comic on my computer screen in RGB, like, my eyeballs were bleeding because there's so many colours. And then when I saw it printed out in CMYK, it was a little bit dulled down. And I was a little disappointed. I was like, oh, it's not as gaudy as I wanted it to look. But it still looks horrible. You know, it still, like, looks really, really, yeah, you know, yeah. Loads of colours just thrown in there.
The cover is, like, yeah, it's pink and yellow is the kind of colours. I remember seeing it in Tower Records for, like, just kind of... It stands out. Yeah, it does. It totally stood out.
I remember you guys saying in your show once about something about not being too fond of having naked guys in the front cover, but it wasn't actually naked. It was just that you could see his butt crack. and you don't quite know. Yeah, you don't quite know what he's staring at. You know, when he's looking down. Yeah. But it could be his lad hanging out on the page or something. Who knows? Like, but or maybe it's just the content is just so awful. He's like, oh my god, what is this crap?
Well, for a long time we presumed that we presumed Archie Templar was the guy in the front, and Craig sent me a question. He wants to know, are you yellow?
Okay. I used to be yellow. there was a period in my life, actually that's the thing though, Archie is actually based on exactly that. It's like, there was a period in my life when I had yellow skin, and I also did happen to have blue hair at one stage of my life, so he's kind of amalgamation.
Yeah, you've got it. There you go.
We'll just use that word, even if it's not the real word.
Yeah, no, it's the right.
So yeah, I had hepatitis when I was a kid, so I had yellow skin. I had dyed my hair blue when I was a stupid ass teenager trying to piss off my parents. So I did all that. Yeah. So yeah. Archie is actually kind of a bit of that. Like,
The look.
Yeah, yeah.
And what because that comic is so kind of random is probably a bad word. But they're just like, you know, there's all kind of different stories in it, and there's like comic strips as well.
Yeah.
Just, what was the kind of like idea behind that? Did you...
Okay, the thing was, I just wanted to, again, like with the colours, I wanted to throw as much stuff and see what would stick. And it was a lot of me just getting a lot of issues off my chest as well, and very, very tongue-in-cheek, don't forget. The whole comic is completely tongue-in-cheek. But I did want to address certain issues like, you know, Ireland's kind of attitude to racism, to homophobia... different things like that, but not to do it in some kind of profound way where people were going to walk away going, my god, he's so right, that they would just read it and go, what the fuck? Or, you know, so that's why I came up with these different characters. Like, you know, you'd have the D1 kind of lad with the D4 lad, and they're both happen to be gay, but they're the last people you expect to be gay or together, even with their cultural backgrounds and things like that, and just all that kind of stuff. So
what was the kind of reaction from it?
Well, actually, that's the thing. I'm always looking for reaction from people, good, bad, or indifferent. And one bit of feedback I got, which was very good, coming from someone who's someone else in the comic scene, was that they said there was a little bit too much filler. And I took that on board, and it was like, yeah, and he was right. Like, there was a bit too much, like, poster here, little strip, poster here, you know. Yes, so there was too many splash pages.
Yeah.
But that was just because I wanted to fill it up with images that I just thought would be kind of humorous. And
yeah.
You know, don't forget, I'm my number one fan. If I'm happy with it, I'll put it out there. If I'm not happy with it, I won't. You know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
I don't really do it for anyone else apart from myself.
Right.
But it's great when other people like it.
Absolutely.
I'm selfish like that.
You must do, like, from your website, there's just so many just like different sketches that I don't see. They don't seem to be related to any specific comic, just like drawings that you're just kind of doing, but fully finished, awesome, like the Joker and all these different random kind of
The Joker
things. Oh, I'm looking at a Joker tattoo here, folks.
Yeah,
very impressive.
I'm just going to pull my pants back up.
Yeah. I wasn't going to tell you where it was, but do you just like draw a lot, like, anyway?
I should draw more. I should be sketching more. No, I mean, like, you have certain sections of the website. Like, I have the retro section, which is essentially just a lot of stuff that's pre 2006, so pre Pants of Archie Templar.
Right.
And that's just kind of, you know, I couldn't really say I have a definitive style, so to speak. Like, you know, like some people, you can see their artwork and you know straight away, oh my god, that's such and such. You know, you just know, like, mostly a lot of the Irish independent guys, I can tell straight away any of their stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas, even though I have trouble sometimes, you know, pinning down my own style, I don't really have a particular style, so to speak. Yet.
So
I just draw it like I see it.
Is there any? Would you ever consider, or would you have any interest in actually, just after mentioning the Joker and that, like to drawing comics, you know, like superhero comics, like actually trying to, you know, do Batman or whatever?
I kind of, well, first of all, because I'm self-trained, let's say, I'm not very good at musculature.
Oh, okay.
And there's a lot of spandex and a lot of musculature and, you know, lots of sexy bits sticking out that you just, it's very hard. You have to have a good anatomy and know how to draw anatomy well, like. You don't have to have a good anatomy to draw a good anatomy, but it helps. I suppose it helps if you can pose in the mirror and use yourself as a model. Yeah, fuck it. But I'm not. I was raised on 2080. Okay, I read my first ever issue I think when I was about 4 or 5, and that I can still remember seeing that first issue. I didn't even, the front cover had all these like half naked kind of monkey dudes jumping around Mega City 1. And I still remember that really clearly, and that was kind of that's influenced how my comics and how I've.
Yeah.
Ever drawn ever since. Whereas superhero comics, I kind of came late to them. You know, I had always had Batman and Superman growing up, but all the other stuff came in my teens, and there was some awful stuff out there. And looking back now, I'm just like, Jesus, why do I even collect that crap? And now again, I've kind of gone back again. I mean, you'll see very, very little superhero stuff on my website. I just don't. You know, I love it. Don't get me wrong, but I just can't draw it. I just don't have the talent to.
So you would read a lot of it, like now still, or
Not really superhero stuff. I'm more into. I couldn't even give you an example now, but it's non-superhero stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, because
you know, it's such a huge genre out there, you know, and I'm such a big fan of comics that, you know, it really pisses me off when people just instantly dismiss comics. Like, most of my friends, for example, they instantly dismiss me as being this childish imp who still reads Dandy or Beano, and I'm like, no, there's more to it than that. They just don't have a clue, and they don't realise that half the films they're looking at are actually influenced by comics, you know. Horrible, horrible films that are made from comics, but they don't realise that. You know, a lot of it came from the comic medium,
yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'm a big defender of the faith. Big time.
A crusader.
Yeah.
Well, while we're on the subject, what kind of, or who, you know, who are your kind of top people? Who do you like reading? You know what I mean? If you were to throw out some names, or just even as random as they are.
As random,
Bernie
Wrightson.
All right.
Richard Corbin, Brian Boland. Guy Davis.
Right.
Guy Davis is like, I've been a fan of his since he started doing Sandman Mystery Theater. That was like in the early 90s. And if you don't know him, you have to check him out.
Okay,
I sincerely recommend it. Like he's the comic artist I think every comic artist wants to be, because he makes it look so effortless. It's almost like he trips over and does a few scribbles, and there you have a perfectly formed figure. And and he's for me, he's just like your perfect comic storyteller. And so that'll be my number one. Definitely.
How do you kind of come back to your art and the creating of a comic, just in terms of the story, I guess, when, like, how do you go about putting it together? What's your process?
It's quite simple, really. Usually if I have an idea, I'll very, very rarely stray from it. I'll have an idea in my head, and that'll be it. I won't pretty much change that at all. Then it's just the hard part is actually sitting down. I'm quite old-fashioned, you know. I'll sit down and I'll do my little pencils and my inks and scan it in, and then I'll usually, if I'm doing colouring, I'll do colouring on Photoshop, but mostly it's all just by hand, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit old fashioned that way, but it works, you know. So the main thing is that getting the idea, like a beginning, middle and an end.
Yeah.
You know, so for the future projects that I already have that I've started, because I essentially have about 4 or 5 projects on the go at the moment, which is foolish as well, because it means you're slowly finishing bits here, bits here, bits here, but I've yet to fully finish any one of them.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just finished the latest one, which is From the Desk of Archie Templar.
Okay,
so that's done. Yes, on to the next one. But now I've got 5 to choose from, so I'm deciding which is the one that's gonna
push next.
Yeah.
Well, since you mentioned it, the brand new one, From the Desk.
Yeah.
Of this is a collection of short stories. Written by you or by other people?
No, it's actually it's 3 stories, 3 short stories.
Okay.
What it was actually around the time when I brought out From the Pants. I already had my story written, but if I had released it at that stage, it would have been like a pamphlet. It would have been ridiculous. I would have been handing out like a little pamphlet.
Right.
So instead, once again, I kind of thought, well, you know what, production values. So I kind of came out with this spanking.
Yeah, it's it looks very spanking.
You know, I thought it was kind of worth it, because if it's a book and if it's going to sit on the shelf, I think people if they would recognise that, you know, it's a good quality product.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in fairness, I've actually gone around to a few shops and I've got some pretty good feedback from people who have said, you know, I can see that you put the effort in here. And now, of course, they haven't seen the content yet. You know, they might just like balk at the idea that some of the stories in there.
Do you ever... I've heard stories of people who have said they have a problem with going into certain comic shops in Dublin, just in terms of sometimes content, you know, that they have to be wrapped up and with a big sticker saying mature.
For me that's a bit of a problem as well, because I'm sorry, like, you know, I mean, Jesus, if you should be able to make your own mind up, even at a young age. I remember when I was 13, probably 14, going into comic shops and picking up, you know, European comic books. And my God, some of the stuff you see in there, like, you know,
those,
I mean,
Europeans.
Those Europeans, they're so sexy, damn them. But yeah, you'd see some crazy stuff in there. But I mean, I'm still pretty normal, I'd like to think. So, you know, I don't agree with the bagging thing. I just think it's silly, you know. Whatever, actually purchasing something. I mean, if they go to the counter and guess what, it's something that's really strictly for over 16s, let's say. I don't want to say over 18s, because what the fuck. But that's fine. But somebody should be allowed to peruse it at least and kind of look through it. Peruse, I use that word. You know, have a look through it, like, and just kind of make their own minds up. You're going to get a feel for it, you know. But, I mean, for example, the thing is, as well, because this, I have this plan that I want to do a comic book, I want to do a storybook, which I've done now, you know, with pictures. I want to do a magazine as well. I want to, I have all these different plans I have, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said,
kind of.
I don't want to just stick
mediums, but different kind of
within the same genre. But I just don't want to. I just don't want to kind of pigeonhole myself and just only do. Oh, look at that wacky Archie Temper. I want to do different other things as well.
Yeah.
So that's why I brought this out, because I thought it'd be nice to bring.
But you've written these.
To go back to your original question. Yeah, I wrote the first story there,
right?
And then the other two. What happened was I basically put an invite out, an open invite. To people to invite them. It's actually at the back as well on the first comic. It actually was an invite as well to people to come and contribute stories. But it's the whole thing of if you invite somebody to a party and you're like, no one knows who the host is, it's kind of hit or miss. People are there, will we go to that party or not?
Yeah.
No one came to my party. So what happened was is I ended up, a really good friend of mine contributed one of his stories, and then another friend of mine contributed story. So there's two mates and myself, and I've done all the putting it together, packaging it, you know, and the design and all the artwork. So that's why I've got my name on the top here, but I've got their names down here, you know, actually telling, you know, there are other people.
Smaller print.
if you get out your magnifying glass, you can actually just make out. So, but that kind of goes back to what I was saying before about the whole collaboration thing. I wanted to kind of get other people on board. I love that whole thing of people, just like-minded people. That's why I've missed out a lot on the whole 10-year period, where I just didn't meet anyone that was into the whole scene.
Yeah.
And that's now changed altogether, because... somehow, some way, just a lot of people have got together. And I hate using the word scene as well, but it has happened more or less. There's like a really good bunch of people out there who are just putting out really good stuff and are passionate about it. And you can tell they're passionate because it just speaks for itself. The work does, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, we'll get onto that in a second.
Yeah.
The scene. The story, just in terms of the writing, do you do a lot of like prose or fiction, you know, on its own, or is this the first time that you really want to put something together?
Yeah, it's look, you know, I mean, it's
it's a yes or no question.
No.
Okay.
This is a first. It's an absolute first for me to actually throw something out there that I've written myself.
Well,
so, you know, when you finally do get around to reviewing it, considering this is
so easy. This is the first time we've ever got someone to be able to go,
No, no, it's cool. No, you know, whatever you think of it, I expect an honest review, if nothing else, and I do want an honest review. I don't want you to be going, oh, yeah, it's great, yeah, just like... if it's
whatever me, Craig will say
it. He'll slate it. If it's shit, he'll slate it. That's cool, that's fine. We're open for criticism, you know, you have to be, like... But like, it's a bit of fun. Again, it's a bit of tongue-in-cheek. Now, it's kind of timely as well, just by coincidence, because the story's kind of... are related to a lot of the... their religion, insanity, murder is, like, the tagline for it. And it kind of relates to some stories surrounding, like, you know, abuse and killing in the name of God. And...
blasphemy.
Well, no, not... Well, maybe we have to wait till October to find out if it's blasphemous or not. you know, I could have written, God is dead. Maybe he is, who knows. But
yeah.
I have to wait till October to see if I can be actually sued for that. But who cares? But so it's kind of timely in that sense. Now, that wasn't by... design, that was just by pure accident. This was just happened to be our next project that was in the pipeline, and now it's done and it's on to the next thing. So
And this is available in
It's available. It's available in Forbidden Planet, Winding Stair, and the Secret Book and Record Store. And It's also available online on the website. So that's, I've just finally joined the 21st century. Just this week, actually, my website's finally got PayPal on it. So, yay!
It's a whole new kind of layout.
Yeah, I just...
It's a bit kind of jazzier.
Yeah, I kind of put a... I wanted to bring the colours up a bit more and make it a little more happy looking. It was verging on goth before, which is just a bad vibe. Or emo, even worse.
Yes.
No, it was a bit depressing looking. It was a bit black, so I've kind of brightened it up a bit and made it more accessible and, you know.
Well, we're on the internet, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Did I read that you are working on a webcomic?
Yeah, well, that's actually, I'm hooking up with the guy at the weekend now who's writing the story. This is, again, another collaboration. I've got this mate of mine who's just an amazing writer. He just comes up with the craziest ideas. But again, he's one of these guys that, you know, really, you need to put your foot right up his ass to force him along, like. But he's writing away, and he's doing this story, and I can't wait to see the end. It's going to be a webcomic. Same as the way you always do webcomics. You'll literally do as many issues as you, or pages as you can, and then you'll release it week by week, as opposed to being under the pressure of... You know, to get it done. Like, I'd rather have like 12 pages done, and then I'll say, "Here's the webcomic. It's been released over 12 weeks with the 12 pages
absolutely,
done."
Absolutely, yeah.
So, but it's going to be cool. On purpose, the style I'm doing for that is I'm loosening everything up completely. I'm not being anally obsessed with detail. I'm going to completely loosen it up. I'm doing it in biro, black biro, just with grey and white shading, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't tell you any more than that.
Okay.
Because it hasn't started. It's just he's writing the stories.
So. Wherever I read this, it was probably on your webpage, maybe, I don't know, but it just said, it said top secret webcomic or secret webcomic, and then I will obviously want to know everything about this
right,
comic.
Well, it's so secret that I don't even know, because he's writing it, like, you know, I've only read the first few pages, and it's, like, already got me hooked, so.
Well, that's just one of the many projects you were talking about. Another one is the very exciting, certainly very excited about the... kind of, I'm not sure what it's called, Hibernia, is it, or something like this?
Working title, Hibernia 1631, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the projects, yeah, which, unfortunately, what happened was is that I've gone and bitten off more than I can chew.
Right.
That's kind of a background project. Are you guys reckon you'll still be doing Comic Cast in 2015?
Yes, we do.
Cool, perfect. Well, you can showcase it then.
We're
because
licensed.
I reckon the way things are going, it'll be around that time before I get it finished. It's going to be like this mad opus. It's going to be intersplit. There you go. I just invented a new word. It'll be color. Then it'll be like flashbacks. Will be black and white. Then color again. And it's going to carry on. It's going to be like a proper graphic novel.
I was
deciding will I release it in one or two parts, and I thought, you know what, fuck it. It'll be my background project. I'll just keep working on it, and then it'll be like a proper graphic novel when it's finished.
And for people who don't know, the plot is kind of like that. The 1916 Rising.
In an absolute nutshell, with not boring you with the details. In a nutshell, the 1916 Rising was a success. Ireland won, kicked off the shackles, kicked our imperialist overlords away, and it takes it from there. It's 15 years later, it's on the eve of the anniversary of the 15 years since they won, and we've got like a main protagonist who has a deep, dark secret about how the Republic was won, and it takes it from there, with flashbacks. And lots and lots of, I suppose, is it Dave Gibbons who did Watchmen? You know that, like, Dave Gibbons-esque kind of, like, clues in all the pictures. I love that about that kind of, you know, dropping clues in visual clues that you don't notice until later on, and you flick back to that page and
like
go...
Yeah, it's like those old puzzle books.
Yeah, you know, like skip to this page, and you'll see, that clue, so he meant that all along, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So things like that kind of thing is going to happen. So that's on the long finger. And then more immediate is the next one up is 100% is the Comic Book of Love. Oh yeah.
The Comic Book of Love.
I know it sounds really bent, but
is this more is this under the guise of Archie Templar?
Yeah, it'll be actually from the heart of Archie Templar.
There
we go. No, that's it's easy, you just make it up as you go along.
And what will this be?
This will just be a bunch of stories, strips essentially, 32 page, like your average US comic size. I've decided to maybe stray away from the A4 size until the next project. So it's American comics. It'll just be a bunch of stories, black and white, about just different scenarios you find yourself in, all related to love in all its quirky, quirky ways. That it's not soppy.
Yeah, yeah.
In any way, it's going to be just quirky.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of those love story books from the 70s that Marvel used to bring out, and it was like Stan Lee presents love stories, and it was like love stories as told.
Right, maybe I should have been more clear. It's not going to be like that at all. Think maybe, you know that guy who made Gazebo? What's his name again?
Oh, I don't know.
Gazebo.
I don't know.
Something like that. Situation type stuff. You know, like you know, you think of a moment and then something happens and a story follows on for it.
Yeah,
you know? And there'll be like stories with with speech and without speech. There'll be silent stories as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be kind of cool. I'm really looking forward to that. I've already got all the thumbnails, all the stories written out. I think I have about 10 more pages. Sorry, not all of them. I have 10 more pages that I need to fill. And I want to do it all, you know, good quality stories. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're almost there.
Almost there. And the other one is called Guns, Girls, and Facts of Life.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
That's fun.
That's a bit of a departure, actually. That's okay. That's nothing to do with Ireland. It's out in a trailer park. It's written by a friend of mine, a close friend of mine, who's living out in LA. He wrote the screenplay, and it's just a 10-page screenplay. It's going to be...
This is Hugh Lawton.
Hugh Lawton, yes.
Was he an actor at one stage? Or,
yeah.
Was he?
Do you know Hugh, do you?
I don't know Hugh, but did he study, like, at the Gaiety or something?
Yeah, he might have.
All right, now my research paid off.
Yes,
I was
indeed.
Like, Hugh Lawton sounded like a really familiar name.
Yeah. Well, he's actually living in the streets of LA now. He's addicted to meth and...
Well,
yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, he's homeless and, like, he's it's fucked up.
But he's getting by.
He's getting by.
But he's doing
Oh, you wrote the screenplay last year. I have the screenplay. Like, it's all written.
It's based on the screenplay. So
yeah. It's completely written, beginning, middle, end. It's really... it actually made me laugh a lot when I read it. And I'm sorry to say, for those that were a bit unhappy with the amount of penile content in from the pants... there's a lot more in this, but it's all part of the story. Like, it's a good excuse why this guy keeps getting his lad out. It just happens.
Yeah.
But it's your classic, you know, shoot him up in a trailer park with bad guys with guns and black and white, sort of very noirish, or you know. And there's no real time. You know, you wouldn't know when it was set. It could be set in the 70s, 80s, 90s. You wouldn't really know. Like, but I've started that on the website. But again, that's just I'm working on that now.
Okay.
It's great fun.
Just in terms of setting. Things. How important is it for you? For a lot of your stuff is set in Ireland and does revolve around Irish things, whereas some other Irish people's comics don't as such. But just how important is that?
That was a decision I made, like, on purpose, because for years I was just like, when I was doodling, I was just drawing crappy stuff, like from planets and aliens and. All outer space crap, you know, nothing that really was tied down to the real world, you know, more fantasy stuff, which I enjoyed doing. But then on purpose I kind of said, you know what, actually let's just set it in the land that I, you know, love to hate and hate to love. You know, I mean, I have this love-hate thing with Dublin, and it was just nice to kind of get it out on paper, like just get it out. And that's why on purpose I've actually kept, even with the second book as well, I've kept the whole theme with, it's Irish made, you know. I'm trying to make up for all the bad mouthing I've done about this country. I'm trying to kind of say, you know what, Ireland's not that bad. It's all, you know.
Try telling that to Bob Burns.
it's a weird country. It is. I mean, I didn't grow up in Ireland. I grew up in Germany.
Oh wow. Well. There's a whole another side to you that we don't know about.
Yeah. Well. So yeah. So I mean, I've always felt a bit of a stranger in Ireland, anyway. You know, and it's only now in my late 50s that I've decided to kind of embrace Ireland, you know, like to really kind of go, you know, maybe Ireland's not that bad. Now on a sunny day there's no better country just to be able to look out into the green fields and go, oh Jesus, oh sure Jesus, you know, it's
can't
all right
it.
Yeah, it's all right, like the rest of the time it's shit.
Yeah. No tourists are listening to this.
Yeah.
Nah, how is your favourite, the scene? How do you get on with people now in terms of, I guess we talked about it a little bit earlier on, but it seems to me that people are more closely knit now than they were, even though I wasn't involved, you know, years ago. But it seems like everybody's more...
Do you know what it is? It's like everything. It's like just down to simple personalities getting together. Like, if people are arsed to actually make the effort... they'll hook up and hang out. That's all it is, you know. That's why I hate calling it a scene, because essentially it's not a scene, it's a bunch of people, like-minded people who are like, oh yeah, you're into that, and you know, you're actually a pretty decent guy, you're not a cunt. Oh, sorry. you know. So yeah, that's what it is, like, you know. And we have the Dublin Comic Jam, like, you know, every Thursday.
How does that go?
Once a month. It's kind of, during the summer now, it's been quite quiet, and I have to say, I've been pretty bad at trying to get there myself,
right?
But when I have made it, it's been really cool. Like, you just sit there, sink down a few Guinness, and you're under pressure to good pressure to not just, like, you know, be able to draw in front of, like, other people, which I hate doing, because for me drawing is all about being in a small little dark room.
Okay.
But you're forced to draw in front of people, but also to come up with something funny, And that's really hard, like, you know, I mean, like, you're, you know, you have the likes of, like, if Bob Byrne turns up, he's like, ha ha ha, easy. You're there, oh, fuck, Byrne, here we go again. You know, that kind of way. But for people like me, it's not that easy. I have to really fucking think about it. And I'm like, oh, no, is that witty? No, that's not witty at all. That's stupid. Or, you know, that kind of way. And then the more the Guinness flows, the sloppier your drawing gets. Or, sometimes, it happens differently. You have enough Guinness that your drawing is actually there. Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of way. So it's a bit of a mix, like. But either way, I think the Comic Jam thing is one of the best things to have happened, because you know, organised by Phil and Paddy and Katie, and you know, it was really cool, really good idea.
Speaking of things they organised, props. Were you at Summer Edition?
I was, yeah.
Yeah, how did that go?
That was, again, that was really, really good. Much better than I could ever have imagined. Much better than any comic fair I've been to, because I sold more, like, I don't know, what did I sold like maybe 10 times more stuff than I ever have at a comic edition, like a proper comic geek thing.
Yeah.
I guess I have a problem with comic geeks, me being one myself. You always hate what you know best kind of thing. But no, it was really, really cool. And again, so much talent out there. Like, I mean, I was walking around to all the different stalls and just kind of like peeking and looking and going, Jesus, wow, this, you know, just so much. Like,
yeah,
there was
yeah.
about 30 or 40 different exhibitors, and I couldn't fault anyone's. Like, there was just an amazing amount of quality out there, and
yeah.
just more stuff than I even knew was happening. I thought I knew what was going on in the scene, but no, I don't have a clue. There's a lot more going on, so yeah, it's cool.
What would you say is you keep your eye on in terms of the Irish stuff? To, you know, is there anything you would think that, you know, is really good?
Really good.
Yeah.
Well, you see, that's a kind of a loaded question, because I don't want to start coming across like a fanboy.
Yeah. Well, no, you don't have to answer that.
I won't. the people who know the people out there who know that I like their stuff know, because I'm always kind of blubbering up and going, "Oh Jesus, you're amazing!" And they're like, "Oh please stop!" And I'm like,
"Exactly
no, but
like that."
Exactly like that. Well, I'm half cut when I say it, but,
right.
But I mean it. It's from the heart.
Well, actually, I knew there was another thing I wanted to ask you about, which is the 2D festival in Derry.
Yeah.
Were you in attendance to that, presumably?
No, not this year. I was at the one last year, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
And which year was it that you contributed to their fear?
That was this year, yeah.
Oh, that was this year.
Yeah, that came out this year. I was actually really happy with that strip.
Yeah, it was an awesome strip. Is it just a one page?
Just a one pager,
yeah.
I mean, you know, Dave Campbell just came out with an idea. You know, fear could be anything, you know, could be anything at all, and I just came up with this kind of thing of childhood fears that it was more to do with around superstition, like, you know, things that when you're younger you kind of laugh about, and then the older you get, the more decrepit, the more paranoid, guess what, these fears are real, like, you know, like fears of ghosts and things that go bump in the night and the fear of the dark, you know. I mean, the older I'm getting, I'm actually getting a fear of heights. I never had a fear of heights, and the older I'm getting, I'm there suddenly going, so yeah.
That's right. Is that the fear you did mention somewhere, that like one of the fears in it was one that Archie himself had.
Yeah, it's the fear of growing into a lake. It could be a beautiful, calm lake, right?
Growing into a lake.
Growing into a lake. No, going into
a
lake.
Going into a lake. That's such a fantastic concept. Why didn't I
put that down on paper?
Yes.
Going into a lake and just having this feeling that just below your feet, where it just gets that little bit colder, because it's warm on the surface,
yeah.
And it goes, that there's just someone's hand might just come up and grab you, or... It's a childhood fear, but
yeah.
it's kind of grown over the years, and it's become more pronounced. I don't know why.
Yeah, I love that panel from it. It's really kind of...
I did almost drown once. Maybe that's what it comes from. Maybe some repressed... Repressed? No,
yeah.
Suppressed.
Suppressed.
Suppressed memories. Yeah,
we should have brought a dictionary, really.
I gotta go for a whiz.
Oh, yes, okay.
Yeah, just 2 seconds.
I'll stay here and entertain our listeners.
After 1 second.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you very much.
Cool.
For being with us, Mr. Archie Templar.
Thanks for having me.
And hopefully we'll see like one of your million projects
yeah.
You know, out soon.
Just keep your eyes open and you know, buy a lot, you know. Keep supporting those starving artists out there. We need it.
They're not starving. I meant Declan Shelby. He's not starving. See you next time.
Cool.
And we're back. We're back. That was an interview. It was very good. Good work. I wasn't there.
Yeah, why weren't you there?
I was working.
Starting to become a running trend.
Yeah, well, it's because you like doing the interviews during the week because you don't have a proper job. So then when I'm free on the weekends, the interview's already done.
Touché.
Yeah, so... But that was Archie Templar. He has a lovely voice. very soothing. I would love him to release an audiobook so I could just listen to his dulcet tones.
An audiobook of his comics.
Where he could describe the panel one. A man is looking to the left. They should do that for comic books.
They should.
Although they might do already.
I was in the cinema the other day.
Yes.
And this is the first time I've seen a just before the film started, they did an ad for audio description. Okay. And they kind of... it was very clever because the ad came on, it had no sound. And I was like, oh, they fucked this up. Yeah. And it goes, having problems hearing? And I was like, I am.
not anymore.
Yeah, but I was thinking, because they go like, this cinema is equipped with audio, blah, 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 and yeah. subtitling services and audio description, you know, if you want to see this film like this. But like, that's the trailer right before the film.
Yeah,
what do you got to do? You got to run down and you're going to miss half the film.
If you're deaf or blind, you're probably not going to see that not version that doesn't have subtitles or audio descriptions, you know?
That's true. You're probably pretty clued in.
I'd say, like, I don't know, they probably have a magazine, like, Blind Weekly, and they run ads in that, maybe.
Blind Weekly?
Yeah, actually, that wouldn't be a blind magazine. It'd be an audio magazine. It'd be a podcast.
There's actually a show on Dublin City FM for deaf people.
Oh, really?
Yes, specifically for...
Would you like to explain further?
No, well, it's just a show that kind of you know, tells you things like that that you might know. What do you mean how?
How does it tell you if you're deaf?
Oh no, wait there, for blind people.
I see.
That would make a lot more sense.
Okay, well, that's fine. Well, they could advertise it on, that'd be the kind of place they should advertise that rather than in the cinema and a movie. Where it doesn't have audio descriptions.
Well, maybe we should start doing audio descriptions.
I think we should definitely. Yes, we could, like, a new feature confirmed, a new podcast that is now thrice monthly, where we'll take a movie and we'll sort of do a commentary on it, but it won't be a commentary, it'll just be an audio description thing.
Yeah.
So, like, Batman walks in the door, etc.
Excellent.
But we've kind of gone off topic here.
We have.
well, you know, we kind of haven't. That interview was great. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yes.
We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Well, I hope we will.
Will I be here?
I don't know. Where will you be, Craig?
Yes. Yeah, that's true. I could be. Will I be away? We should probably discuss this off air.
Yes, well, we'll be here roughly 2 weeks. I think people's patience have probably been tried a lot recently.
Yes.
And we must apologise, actually,
for bandwidth issues. Yes. The podcast is clearly too popular. We are getting millions of downloads a day because, as previously mentioned, we are the number one entertainment product
in the world.
In the world. So, bandwidth issues will be solved this month. They have already been solved since you're listening to this, and it will never, ever happen again. I give you the Hank Tree promise, the Craig promise.
I'm not giving you any promises, so that all falls on you.
You're not the tech guy.
No, I'm not the tech guy.
Actually,
and look what a great job you did so far.
Actually, I wanted to mention this at our Comic-Cast birthday bash. I don't want to keep on going on about it.
Okay.
But everyone there, you know, they've only heard our voices and they've seen pictures of us, but they don't know the voice to the face.
That's
you
true. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So I thought we should just describe what we look like. Like, I'm the really attractive one, the real sexy one, and you're the kind of the loser, the one that looks kind of homeless.
I'm the dowdy looking one.
Yes. Is that the adequate description?
Yeah, that's adequate.
I think everyone can now clearly put a face to the voice. So, okay, well, I guess we'll just wrap this up and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks probably. Enjoy this outro music that Liam's going to put on the end.
Down on the street there's a police attack, and you got to find out, so you suck on a cranberry candy. They look so sad when you call 911, but you got to report them for criminal classification. What can I do? White light turns into blue. It's easy, so very easy. I'm in trouble like a dirty, stinking Jew. Pepe Le Pew singing, what can I do? Still I go on vacations and act like the queen of injustice. And the girl on the subway who sleeps on her back, and she's got to relax when I speak of the pleasures of silence. who threw my toys away and gave me coffee. Who wants some coffee? I'm in business on the wrong side of you, babe. My heart beats still.